The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let's pray.
Father, thank you for this time to be in your midst and to worship you, to commune with you, Lord, and to now come to hear a message from you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will just quiet the hearts and the minds of your people. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit leads me in this time, that we would be filled with your word, and that we would receive it with gladness, and that we would apply it to our lives, Lord. We put this in your hands now, in Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message today is 40 Days, as you can see. And the phrase 40 days, or the number 40, is something that you see all throughout Scripture. And scholars have come to understand that the number 40 is a symbolic number that teaches us or prepares us for a time of testing or a time of preparation. So in the Bible, we see some examples of this. In Noah and the ark, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses went on Mount Sinai on two different occasions for 40 days and 40 nights where he fasted. And this is where he received the law. This is where he prayed on Israel's behalf. We also know that Israel wandered the wilderness for 40 years. We also see that 40 seems to represent or be representative of a generation, a time span of a generation. We know that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is currently where we are at today, being March 1st. We are exactly 40 days until Good Friday. 40 days until Jesus, when we commemorate and remember his death on the cross. This 40 days that we are now a part of is known as the time or the 40 days of Lent. And in this 40 days, we are called to prepare ourselves spiritually. We are called to reflect on what it means to be a disciple of Christ. But we're also called to identify ourselves with Christ in what he did for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And that's the text that I want to read for us today. It's Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, if you'd like to turn with me there. I'll also have it appear on the screen. Matthew 4, 1 to 2. And it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." So this text is what Lent typically identifies with. When we go through these 40 days together, we are identifying that Christ, on our behalf, went into the wilderness. He denied himself food, and he willingly was tempted by the devil. So this next 40 days, we have the opportunity now to grow and to become more intimate and close to God. But you could also hear this message today, and you can take it just as another 40 days of your life. But we have the opportunity to look at these next 40 days as something very special as we prepare to commemorate the death of our Lord and Savior, and also, a few days later, celebrate his resurrection, which is why we celebrate Easter. So just some context and some background for this text specifically is that this follows Jesus being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And immediately after Jesus is baptized, we see this text. And this text is right before Jesus begins his ministry and right before he chooses his 12 disciples. So it's interesting that between Christ's baptism and before the beginning of his ministry, there's this 40 days. And I want us to look at this text today and see what can we learn from what Jesus did here in this short text. And what does it mean for us as believers today? And how can we use this as we prepare ourselves for this next 40 days? Well, the first thing that we see in this text is it says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit. So Jesus trusted and was willingly led by the Holy Spirit. But what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, it means that Jesus willingly released his control. Jesus said, I trust the Spirit. I have faith in the Spirit. And now I am going to follow his lead. So Jesus trusted and followed the Spirit. Now, are you someone who is releasing control for the Spirit? Because I know that in our American culture, we like to control a lot of things. We like to organize our schedule. We like to know exactly what we're doing every single day of the week. Sometimes we have it down to the hour. Sometimes we just feel like we have to control everything, otherwise nothing will ever get done. We have that tendency to where we feel like we need to always control. But to be led by the Spirit, as we see Jesus, as soon as he was baptized, he didn't hesitate. He said, Lord, what will you have for me? And the Spirit took him and led him. Now, some of us, that might be a little scary to say, I'm going to give up control. But to be led by the Spirit, you have to be willing to give up control. You can't know what you're going to be doing for sure next month, in a year's time. If you want to be led by the Spirit, you have to say, Lord, wherever you want me, whatever you call me to do, I'm willing. I am willing to be led no matter where you take me, no matter what you want me to do. I'm willing to be led by you. Then, like this also, to be led by the Spirit, it requires faith. So obviously, yes, you want to initiate that trust and say, I trust you, God, I'm going to follow you. But sometimes our tendency when we say that, it's like this. Father, I trust you. Lord, I want to follow and trust your Spirit and be committed. And then something starts going a certain direction. You're like, whoa, 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 is this exactly, I'm not sure if I like this. Maybe I need to control it again. We can have that tendency to say, Lord, I trust you to have the wheel. But every once in a while, I might need to adjust it a little bit, right? See, for the most part, me and my wife, when we're traveling somewhere, I usually drive. But there's been a couple occasions where we've been on long trips. And sometimes I get to the point where I need to rest or I just can't drive. I need her to take the wheel. And if you ever have seen me, I try to sleep, and sometimes I've been successful, but there's a lot of times, anytime that I feel like we're hitting the road monster, which is on the little curb there, or whatever it is, for road runners, I immediately go, what's going on? Are we good? Are we in a wreck? Are we done? You know, but we can't be like that with our faith when it comes to being led by the Spirit. We can't always be on the edge of our seat and being like, are you able to rest when the Spirit is driving? Can you trust in him and say, I release complete control wherever you're leading me. I want to go, and I'm not going to second guess you. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. And that's what we see Jesus doing. So you might be saying, yes, I want to release control. I want to trust the Spirit. But maybe you're saying, but I don't necessarily know if I can discern the voice of the Spirit. Maybe you're at a point where there's something hard in your life and you're trying to make a decision. And you're saying, is this what God wants for me? Is God really telling me to do this? Well, there's a few things I think that can help us when it comes to discerning the Spirit. Because We see that in Romans 8:14 it says that the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit. So we want to be people that are led by the Spirit. But the first thing is, if you want to be able to hear and discern the voice of the Spirit, you need to know what He has said previously. And how you do that is by being in the Word. If you want to know what Jesus or what God or what the Spirit sounds like, read what He's already given you. That is the voice right there. Also, what you can do is, if you're at a crossroad and you're saying, Lord, left or right, where am I going? Be in prayer about it. Trust that God will make things clear to you. The Bible also says to rely on your conscience. If there is something, as you have committed it to prayer, you've looked to God's word to see what He has to say, think about this. If you're truly wanting to follow Christ, if your heart is sincere and wanting to be led by the Spirit, there will be peace with your decisions. Doesn't mean that your decisions are always easy. Doesn't mean that there won't be results or consequences for the choices that you make. But it is clear that you will have comfort and peace when you choose to follow the Spirit. So whenever you're really, you know, pressed to a decision making that you have to do, consider all the options. And sometimes the options may even weigh on a certain side. But if you truly feel as if God's word, prayer, and your conscience are saying, I know that a lot of things make sense over here, but the Spirit seems to be leading me here, then trust the Spirit. Go with the Spirit. And another thing that I have found is this. Very rare is it that the Spirit is going to go against what your Christian counsel will say. The Spirit's not usually going to go against what the church is saying to you. So if you have, hopefully you do, a group of good Christian counsel that you trust, that you love, that you value their input, and that you believe are people that know God's word and know what it's like to be led by the Spirit, it's important to seek their counsel, because they will help speak for God. God can use His church to speak to others. Do you realize that? That's what He does whenever I come up here on a Sunday morning. He uses the Spirit to speak through His church. So if you want to discern the Spirit, be in prayer about it. Make sure you know what His voice sounds like. Rely on your conscience and seek good counsel. Because when you choose to do that, there's going to be some amazing things that you get to do when you're truly led by the Spirit. But you have to give up being led by the flesh. Because your flesh is going to want to be in the driver's seat. And here's an example of this.
Do we see where Jesus was led by the Spirit?
It says into the wilderness. Do you guys ever think that sometimes when the Spirit's leading us that for some reason, a lot of times church people will say, the Spirit was leading me to do this, and it's almost always a promotion. Always to something better, a nicer location a lot of the times.
We don't see that here with Jesus.
He gets led into the wilderness.
Are you okay being led by the Spirit into the wilderness? Into the unknown? Places that might not be the most comfortable for us? Jesus was. We might be led into the wilderness as believers, but the wilderness is where we need to be if that's where the Spirit has us.
So it's important to remember that the cost is this. Being led by the Spirit might lead to the wilderness, but there's a purpose for it, because we know that the Spirit is good. The Spirit is our helper. The Spirit is our guide. So trust the Spirit, even through the wilderness. But then we see, in the wilderness, Jesus isn't alone all the time, is He?
It says He's led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know the devil is a real person?
The devil exists. And if you don't think of yourself as in spiritual warfare in your lives, you're going to be vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. He might not personally be in your house day to day,
But he has demons, you know that. He has some spiritual influence over governments and high authorities. Do you know that the devil wants to tempt you? He wants you to be deceived. He wants you to doubt the leading of the Spirit. He wants your spouse. He wants your children. He wants everything you have. And he wants to own it and enslave it. And that's what the devil is about, the adversary. And he's there. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and the devil is there. But the important thing to take away from this, is that who tempts Jesus? It's not God. God is leading him through the wilderness, but there will be some devils along the way. You might be led through some hard times. There might be things that are enticing or tempting that will try to call your flesh back. But remember, God is not the tempter. God wants you to persevere. He wants you to be strong. And he wants you to continue to trust and follow the Spirit. Because we see that Jesus was successful. And that's what he calls us to be. So remember, this isn't just a battle of the flesh. This is a battle of the Spirit. And the only way we can have spiritual success is by being led and living by the Spirit. So, what do we see next in the text? We see, and when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus fasted. Why did Jesus fast? Well, I think there's multiple reasons why Jesus chose to go into the wilderness and to fast. I think Jesus recognized that when you fast, he was demonstrating something. He was demonstrating that I will not rely on bread alone. I don't need food as my primary source for life. My flesh does not rule over me. Because what is one of the most primary needs for us as humans? We need food. You know, today, a lot of us are going and planning on eating, I'm sure, at some point today. Because we recognize that daily need. But one of the most basic needs, Jesus shows us something. He says, I will give that up. Because my primary need is the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God. And that's what Jesus says here. He says, I am going to fast because I want to show that I will not be mastered by my flesh. I will rule over the flesh, be led by the Spirit, so that I can be in greater communion with God. I am seeking God in the wilderness. I want to be in an intimate, loving relationship with God. So that's what Jesus is doing here. We see that Jesus is seeking to do that. But also, I think Jesus recognized that fasting is powerful. I think when it comes to fasting, this is one of the things that the church, a lot of the times, especially in the Protestant side of churches, a lot of times we don't do. And I think it's so weird. We say we want to be like Christ, but we see, what is it like to be like Christ? He fasted. Now, I'm not necessarily encouraging every single person to go on a 40-day fast, but fasting is something that I think is beneficial for your spirit. It might be worthwhile to give up a meal and just commit it to prayer, devotion, scripture reading. Are you willing to do that? Get up early one morning and get rid of breakfast for one day. We need to fast. Not only because it's useful, but in Matthew 6:16, Jesus says, when you fast. It's expected. He doesn't say that you have to do it this many times a week, but he did expect his followers to fast. I want to encourage you in this 40 days moving forward, think of maybe there's something that I can fast from. Maybe it's going to be a certain meal. Maybe a certain time that you give up and you just say, I'm going to be in devotion and prayer during this 40 days. Maybe you want to give up something for Lent. I would like to encourage this whole church as a group, let's commit to give up one thing and commit it to God. Not because it's sinful. Give up something because you just want to say, God, everything is yours. And I want to give this to you because I want to show that you're more than this. You don't have to tell anyone. It can be a secret. Just you and God is saying, I'm giving this up. Or if you'd like to discuss it with a friend or a spouse, feel free to. But don't feel like you have to say what you're giving up. But take this next 40 days to give something up. Say, God, this is yours. Everything I have is yours. I know I really enjoy this, but for 40 days, I'm going to give it up so I can just commit to you in this time. Whenever I would be doing this, I want to be with you. And when we do this, when we practice to fast, or when we practice to give up something for God, we practice self-denial. In Matthew 16:24, it calls us to deny thyself, to take up thy cross, right? We are called to be practicing self-denial rather than self-indulgence. Because in our world today, it's very easy to get that instant gratification. It's easy for us to self-indulge. Think about all the streaming platforms that we have now. Netflix, Hulu. Most of us probably have binge-watched at some point. Why? Because it's so appetizing. We don't have to wait a whole week for one other episode that's 30 minutes to an hour long. We can just watch over and over and over and over again. What about our social media? We'll post something, a post or a picture or a video. How often will we go back and check it? I know that there's times that I'll do this. It'll be like, did I get another like? You know, are we so self-focused that we're saying, I need this attention. I need this acceptance. I need them to like me. I need to put filters on. Do we feel like we're constantly needing to self-indulge? America, when we look at our eating habits, when we go to a restaurant, our plates that are filled are bigger than basically everywhere else in the world. So these are some common things that we don't even think about all the time. But we are so prone to self-indulge. But that's going against the Spirit. The Spirit says to self-deny. To be disciplined spiritually. Say, Lord, I'm willing to give up these things so I can better focus on you. So if there's something in your life, whether it's social media, a streaming service, food, whatever it is, be willing to self-deny for your spiritual well-being. Because when you do this, you remind yourself that I'm depending on God. Not on the praise of others or attention, but I depend on God. And when you do that, when you put yourself in a place where you just say, everything else is secondary to me leaning and having that peace and that rest in God. So it's good to practice fasting, but fasting also is an appropriate response for certain times in our lives. So what times are appropriate to respond with fasting? Well, the first one that I found was trials. Hey, have you ever been going through something that just really, really has just emotionally drained you? You just, at this point right now, your countenance is so low and you don't really know what to do, but you don't feel like eating. Sometimes it's appropriate because if you're not going to eat anyway, respond by saying, this is a time that I will choose to fast. Don't let the enemy use it for a time of weakness. Say, Lord, I'm at this moment where I'm just emotionally and spiritually drained, and I'm just going to, for this time, I'm going to fast. And I'm going to just be in communion with you. So then I can come back to the table, and I'm ready and able to eat. Because sometimes we'll just not eat, or we'll eat very little, and we'll just keep trying to eat little. But what does that fill you with? You're just slowly trying to eat. Maybe it might be intentionally fast for that moment and pray and come back. So it might be a good time that when you're going through a hard time, choose to fast instead. And another time is through temptation. Maybe you're struggling with a sin. Maybe there's a sin that you just haven't been able to quench. You just keep falling back to it. You'll go good for a couple of weeks or a month. All of a sudden you go right back into it and you say, God, why? Why can't I deny this? Why can't I turn from this? Why do I keep falling back into this? Fasting is a good way to train yourself and equip you to self-deny in those moments. Because, yeah, sometimes it would be really good to eat a nice meal or something. But whenever those pains come, you're like, ooh, I'm hungry. Turn to God. And that will train your spirit and your body to say, I'm feeling that tendency to want to do this. I'm going to turn to God. That will become your natural reaction. So I want to call you to, in times of temptation, be like Jesus. He knew he was going to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And he fasted through it. He depended on God. And the last one is that when we are called to a specific task or a calling in our lives, if we're about to do something big for God, if we are going to do something that really changes our life, maybe with a job situation or a relationship change or an economic status change, whatever it is, start it off with fasting. That's what Jesus does here. Before he even starts his Galilean ministry, before he picks his 12 disciples, he says, I am going to dedicate this time to prayer and fasting. Because I want to know what God is doing. I want to know what God is calling me to do before I make my own earthly decisions. So, it's an appropriate response to fast in trials, temptations, and tasks. And the last thing that we see in this text, it says, afterward, he was hungry. I think that's pretty common, right? 40 days, 40 nights without eating, I'd be pretty hungry. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever really felt what it's like to be really hungry at some point? Do you know what it can do to your body? I have some friends that literally are the definition of the term hangry, that when they get really hungry, I can make any jokes I want, even though I'm really funny sometimes, and they aren't having it. They say, food now, right? Jesus was hungry, more hungry than we probably have ever been. And what does this speak to? This speaks to the humanity of Christ. Jesus was truly God, but he was also truly human. He feels what we are feeling. He knows what it's like to be really hungry, to be tired. He knows what it's like to deal with these temptations of the world. In the humanity of Christ, with all of this happening, what did he choose to do when he was hungry? What did he do when he was dealing with the devil? He followed the Spirit and he trusted his Father. So if you're ever going through a time that's hard, if you're feeling hungry or lost or scared, do what Jesus did in the wilderness. Follow the Spirit and trust your Father. They'll get you through it. Whatever period of life it is, God will get you through it. And because of Jesus being hungry and us now knowing that he is truly a man, we can have redemption through him. Romans 5:18 talks about how through one man, sin entered the world. Because of one man's righteous acts, we now can have redemption in his blood. Because Jesus, as a man, he denied the temptations of the world. He was willing to limit himself and willing to die on the cross for our sins as a man. He took the punishment for us. So if you turn from your sins and if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, because of that man, you can be saved. And you can have eternal life and eternal communion with that God-man in heaven. So we should be so thankful that Jesus was hungry. And we also have a sympathetic Savior. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15, it says this: "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So if you're ever going through anything that you think is hard, that's difficult, that just other people just, they can't sympathize or empathize with you, you have a sympathetic Savior. He was tempted as we were. He went through the hardest of times. He knows what you're going through. But he didn't sin. He always was led by the Spirit, and he always trusted his Father. And I promise you, if you trust to do what he did, you will feel fulfilled. You won't be hungry anymore. And you will have eternal life because of what our Savior did. So, 40 days. That's what we have until Good Friday. 40 days from today. So it's your choice. Do you want to respond today and say, this next 40 days, I'm committed to being deeper devotion with God? Am I saying, I'm going to give up something to God because everything is His and I trust Him with it? Or going to practice fasting as a life choice that we are dedicated to, saying, we will not be led by the flesh, but we will be led by the Spirit. 40 days. That's your choice. 40 days. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we are so grateful for this time to worship you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you will just allow us to move forward for this next 40 days and to commit ourselves to you fully, Lord. To not keep anything from you. To be led by your Spirit. And to know that even if we are led into the wilderness, that you are with us, you will give us strength, and we know that we can lean on that sympathetic Savior, Lord, that knows what we're going through, and he will not forsake us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this church now would hear this, receive it, and apply it, Lord, as we go into this week. In Jesus' name, amen. The music is about to begin. If I could have the...